coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello everyone. If you're just tuning in, this is Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome. You're about to hear another episode of the series called Faith That Functions. Today we're going to look at Luke chapter 24 verses 1 to 12. This is the gospel lesson for Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, that Jesus is risen, that he is alive today without a doubt, as he has returned to the glory of heaven with which he had with the Father from eternity, before he was even incarnate. There's no doubt of this resurrection. So without further ado, from the English Standard Version, our text reads, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and then he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." Facts are facts, or so they say, and in a sense, that's certainly true. If it happened, it happened. If it's true, it's true. On the other hand, one fact, while true, is not necessarily as important as another equally true fact. For instance, the first time I preached this, it was a Sunday. That's a fact. But it was also Easter Sunday, so that's what I call a greater fact. That's a fact that would seem, on all accounts, to be a greater point of truth. What a wonderful fact it is. It may even be said that Easter Sunday is more wonderful than every other Sunday. More wonderful because of what we celebrate this particular Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. It can also be said that we know Easter Sunday pretty well, though it only comes around once a year. We know the message of the resurrection pretty well. Of course, the reason for this is because it's not just once a year that we preach the resurrection of Christ, is it? It actually causes one to wonder sometimes what really is the difference between Easter Sunday and every other Sunday that we gather for church. The wonderful fact of Jesus' resurrection again is certainly proclaimed every Sunday and has never been hindered by anything. But there does seem to be something special about this proclamation being given at this time of year. The tradition at St. David's Lutheran Church, here in Cardiff, is to decorate the altar so that it looks like a tomb. But what I really want to get at is that because it is celebrated at a particular time of year, the evangelism game can change a little bit. People are talking about Easter even in the streets. Christians have an opportunity to bring people to church in a way that it is not so easy year-round. However, truth be told, this is probably easier to do around the time of Christmas. People like singing carols, etc. There's more of a family feel to Christmas. Easter's message, unless smothered with chocolate and lavish flowers, will be harder to attract people to the church. But we try all the same. Perhaps it's more about motivating ourselves again with such a fabulous message. Again, a game-changing, earth-changing, eternity-changing message of nothing but good news for everyone. A lot happened that first Easter Sunday, and we want to tell the story, for that's why we're here. So let's tell it again. But let me stress that all of the facts of Easter are to actually convey the one fact of the gospel. For though Easter is all about the Lord being risen from the dead, the gospel message of Easter is not that Jesus is risen from the dead, but that he died in our stead. That is the gospel, purely and simply. And we have presented for us from our text all the evidence we need for this. It all started with some women who thought they were coming to anoint the body of a dead man. Indeed, this was a fitting, pious, and caring act to do for a loved one no longer alive. But if you think about it again, this was an act of unbelief. How long were these women with Jesus during his ministry that they would simply ignore his prophecies of resurrection? Perhaps the sight of Jesus dying on the cross and being with him to the end was so unsettling and so vivid and so real that they could not help but think that the state in which he is now could not be any other. It was all so real. His death, his being taken down from the cross, his lifeless body being held in his mother's arms, and because of his sheer dead weight, would have needed several men to carry him to the tomb where he was to be laid, cold, bloodied. These were the facts. Those were the facts. That is what they had sensed before them. That was their reality. They saw it happen with their own two eyes. But those are excuses. And so we come to our text. These women, assuming that Jesus is dead, do what is, for them, the most natural thing to be done. They visit the tomb, where they last saw him. And in a very real sense, they were loyal to him even after death, wanting to anoint his body, wanting to pay him the respect and honor that was due a prophet, priest, and even a king. It was early in the morning, and it was the first thing they did that day, maybe even before breakfast. Indeed, who could stomach food at such an hour, at such a time? But to repeat my first point again, these were actions of people who clearly had no faith in what Jesus had said. Utter unbelief. The truth is, if they believed he would rise from the dead, as he said he would, several times, the women would not have brought such spices and ointment with them with which to adorn what they truly believed to be his dead body. Though they had admirable intentions, and because of their grief the situation is most understandable, these are the facts. God forbid that anything so horrific enter our lives as to cause us to doubt or lose faith in Jesus Christ, our evidently risen Lord and Savior, who always keeps to his word, and this situation is no different. So the law for us here is that we do not understate this fact. So let us hold the word of God and his truth ever before us and have faith in what he has said. We are to hold on to what Jesus proclaimed as fact before he was even arrested. From Luke 9, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. And again in verse 44, listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. And in chapter 18, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. But on the third day he will rise again." You see, in these women we can actually see ourselves. We can see how at times our outward actions seem to be proving us faithful. At times we may look great, pious and humble, even courageous and admirable. But the truth is, we too bear burdens of unbelief, sin, and even fear of death in our conscience. And that's understandable. It makes sense. It's so real, death. It's been real for thousands of years. What doesn't happen too often is someone rising from the dead and proving to us that death isn't the end. But God said so, and so the women and disciples should have believed, just as we have or should have every reason to believe in his resurrection ourselves at any given point in our lives. It's why we pray incessantly and are in fellowship with not only the Father but the Son and the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that Jesus is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, 1 Corinthians 15, which in fact is a euphemism for those who have died, but who will rise again, because Jesus is risen. That is what we are celebrating today, of course. But again, it is, as Luther put it, the condition of every Christian, whereby he certainly does have sin and yet does not have sin. Both are true. How? Because we are at the same time attacked by the devil, the world, and our own flesh, as well as holding on to the truth of God's word that the consequences of evil have already been dealt with. So though we, like every Christian, cling to the message of the resurrection, we also tend to sympathize with the popular world view of death, that like the animals, we just drop dead and that's that. It's a most natural occurrence. It happens every day and in every way. Think about it. Someone is killed. We read about it in the news or watch it on the television. Someone else dies in their sleep. Some other poor person has a terrible accident. And that's that. Death is everywhere. Once obsessed, it can be hard to grasp any concept of life. It's hard enough to grasp life as it is here, among us, let alone the truth about life after death. And for those who believe in the resurrection of the dead, you'd think their lives would mimic a life dedicated to the knowledge and wisdom that there is eternal life. You'd think that a people who believe this would ever have renewed lives, renewed hope to live lives that far surpass the average person's in bearing witness to him who is the light of life, the resurrection, the way, and the truth. Don't we pray that it is that way among us, that we are not living as if the resurrection did not happen, that we would not continue to actively and openly sin against the living God? But we're sinners. It's more likely that unless we truly grasp the gospel, we will simply end up hating his righteous judgment against us. And because of this, some of us may want to look at Easter the wrong way, like somehow the gospel message of Easter is that it's okay that we're sinners because Jesus rose from the dead. But that would be an error. Jesus did rise from the dead, yes, but that must have taken place. He is God. But the gospel message of even Easter is that the righteous judgment of God for us sinners was rightly sentenced, but instead of us receiving it, Jesus did. So to state that Jesus dying for us is the central gospel message of even Easter isn't to deny the fact that he is risen from the dead. It is to correctly emphasize the gospel, as we do every day, and especially every Sunday. So to be clear, Jesus' resurrection did not pay for our sins. Jesus' death on the cross paid for our sins, the payment for our sins, so that we will not die forever, is the gospel. Because of this, we are not ashamed of proclaiming it in any way, shape, or form. You are listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with more on what it is to truly celebrate Easter, in view of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because if we miss the gospel message, then the resurrection of our Lord is quite frankly meaningless. This is Lutheran Radio UK, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with, and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies. to understand more of God's teachings.
Every time I learned something new, because on my own I couldn't understand everything.
I like it when the pastor explains the context. I find it really informative.
They help me understand what Jesus really meant.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible studies are very important in the life of a congregation, indeed in the life of a Christian. As we study, reflect, and discuss God's Word, what it means and what it means for us today, we grow in faith and understanding of what discipleship with Jesus is all about. And all this in the company of brothers and sisters in Christ. Bible studies are worth it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about how to focus on the message of Easter. In summary, how we can proclaim the message of Christ crucified without flinching, because we have every confidence that death could not hold him. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. If the listener has any questions or comments, please do send in an email to us at info@lutheran.co.uk. Back to the message. We're now going to look at how the message of Jesus' resurrection might have affected the women at Jesus' tomb. You see, the angels, with their dazzling apparel, confront the women at the tomb right away, causing their unbelief to disappear utterly as the message of the resurrection is once again given to them. He's not dead. He's risen. They would have been thinking to themselves, this is amazing. Now we don't have to shed a tear at his death. We can celebrate his death. We can even glorify his death. In fact, the news of his resurrection is so fantastic, not only can we be confident that we don't need to hinder the message of his death, we can emphasize it in full faith that he is risen. Because only if people understand and hear about his sacrifice for our sins on the cross will people understand that they are saved by his death. It's so great that he's risen from the dead, because now we can emphasize his death and what that means in light of his resurrection. This is what it's all about. The Lord has done all of this for us. You see, through having absolute confidence in the resurrection, the women finally got the point of Jesus' death. They finally got the gospel. And this would have happened every time Jesus showed himself to people post-resurrection, to the disciples in the upper room, to those who walked with him on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus opened up their eyes to the scriptures on their journey and how everything was leading up to Jesus' death. The Ten Commandments, the scapegoat, the sacrifices in the temple, the slaughtered lamb that went on the doorpost during the Passover. Everything was pointing not to his resurrection, but to his death, his atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. And whenever Jesus appeared to someone, they could rejoice in Jesus' death, because evidently he was alive. But then more importantly, they knew that their sins were paid for, and that he must have paid for them. Jairus' daughter didn't pay for their sins. I know that sounds like a silly thing to say, but she too rose from the dead. Lazarus didn't pay for their sins. Jesus did. More important then than the resurrection of the dead, for which all men will participate on the last day, because Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, is the fact that Jesus died for our sin, because no one else would do that. And that is the gospel. You see, the good news of Easter is not the fact that a dead person became alive again. Yes, that's what we celebrate at Easter. That's wonderful. He is risen. Hallelujah. But the good news of Easter is the same message of the gospel, which will ever remain the most important word of God, that our sins have been taken away, atoned for. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That is the gospel. The climax of the gospel is Jesus himself appearing to many after he died and saying, because I died, you will not have to die forever. And evidently, death has no hold on Jesus. In fact, everlasting life should have always been evident. God is eternal, and he even made creatures to live forever. But the difference between whether we live forever in heaven or hell depends on whom this sentence/punishment of eternal death rested. We're not going to heaven because God lives forever. That is evident in and of itself. We are going to paradise because Jesus has died for our sin. He would, of course, rise from the dead. That is a given because no one can cause God to cease to exist. And Jesus, having risen from the dead, made this message perfectly clear by proclaiming his peace to all, having been resurrected, proclaiming that by his death he has conquered death. That was the act that needed to have taken place. God lives forever. Nothing could stop God living forever. But there would only be one time he would die, and that's what needed to happen for the likes of you and me to live. This is why it should be the one thing emphasized above all other things in the church, even on Easter Day. Christ's resurrection, because he is God, is self-evident. What needs to be emphasized is his death, which conquered death. You see, it's not his life which gives life. It's his death which gives life. At Easter time, we have a special opportunity to preach this message to those who only come to church this time of year, because even in the world, even in secular society, even among unbelievers, Easter is supposed to be considered more special. So today we celebrate the message of the gospel as clearly as we possibly can, that it's all about Jesus' death, because even after he's been risen, that's the good news. Why? Because he died for you and for me. It is exactly because we can look upon Jesus' death that the fear of judgment can now be removed. How is simply knowing that Jesus rose from the dead any comfort to us in and of itself? Why would death hold Jesus? Death cannot hold God. The comfort we receive from Jesus is that he died for us, and because of that one fact, we now know that he will continue to take care of us, even when our hearts stop beating. The fact is that it is sad that the women in our text could not control their hearts of sadness and not see beyond them to the evident nature of God and how he must exist, which is that he must rise. There shouldn't have been a question in their minds of his resurrection. He said so. Jesus said earlier when raising Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life." He didn't just say, "I raise people from the dead on behalf of God, like I will also teach the disciples to do in my authority." Again, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." The definite article is used. I am resurrection. I am life. The miracle of Easter is that by the grace of God, the Spirit might reach the stranger who walks into the church because he's somehow drawn here, who does not come into the church any other time of the year, with the message of the gospel, of the full revelation of God, that Christ has proved himself to be the one that actually suffered the sins of the world on the cross, that he is alive because he cannot be anything else. Jesus is life itself because God is life itself. Easter is not about whether the resurrection of the dead is possible. Jesus had raised many people from the dead, again Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, but this time is that much more special because it went hand in hand with the act of atoning for the sins of mankind 3 days earlier, and that is where the message of the gospel stands, in that he paid the price for your and my sin. That's a fact. If we do not get this, then the message of Jesus' death and resurrection may well be idle talk, an empty message that does not relate to our lives. But still, our good Lord patiently promises to continue to proclaim to us this good news through external means. Means of grace, we say in the church, such as when good news is preached to all, especially to the sick and dying. God doesn't give a message like, "That's okay, you'll live forever." He says, "Jesus suffered and died for you. Because of this gospel, you will live with him forever in paradise." I tell you, the comforting message to someone near death in hospital is not some mundane attempt at talking about life after death. they need to know about how death is dealt with. And we can do better than that. We can tell them who dealt with death. When life is at its most challenging, we are to talk about the one who went through every challenge for us. We've gone through it in this season of Lent with the temptations of Jesus, with his praying to God, this constant fellowship with his Father where he bore the sins of the world, getting strength for that. What Easter is a chance to talk about Jesus' death post-resurrection, because it's always about his death, because that is where God paid for the sins of mankind, on the cross. Yes, Jesus is risen. Alleluia. But you know what? More importantly, Jesus died for my sin. The fact of the Lord's resurrection is good news because the one who answered for our sins came through triumphantly, as is to be fully expected of a God who cannot be held down by anything. Nothing is impossible with God. And we will express this through the many wonderful revelations Jesus gave when he appeared to many after he rose from the dead. And when we love to hear about it and celebrate that today of all days, that's a great thing. But the good news will forever remain that instead of coming down from the cross, as Satan probably tempted him to do, instead of leaving the cross empty, he endured the cross, hung there until dead, having suffered the shame that you and I still deserve. Instead of leaving the cross empty, he said, "No, I will suffer it until I am dead." But 3 days later, as he promised, Jesus proved to all that death was never going to hold him down. He first appeared to the women. The tomb was empty. Angels said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen." Amen.
You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.